What is up, fellow humans and mutants alike? My name is Kyle. I'm with Danny. We are diving back into X of Swords. This time we are going to part 5 of X of Swords, Marauders, issue number 13. That's so frustrating to say. God damn it, Danny. Why did they do this to us?
Well, I mean, if you didn't stretch out the issue, we couldn't utilize more of the comic cover space. And I mean, you've seen how they do this now, Kyle. They want to utilize as much of that canvas as they can, which is arbitrary nonsense.
Oh my God.
I mean, minimalism is out.
Right. Minimalism? Who needs minimalism? By the way, we got to mention that Chadwick Boseman, rest in power, once again.
It fits here, though.
It does. This works here. If they only just stuck it to this issue, I would have been like, badass. Cool.
I almost think that would have made it into a collectible in itself.
Right?
You put the Chadwick Boseman Memoriam on the issue. It cements it as this very iconic issue that they remember him on. He's referenced not only inside, but then he'd also be referenced in the story through his character and actually fit to what's going on right now, instead of when you're just reading something every other week and you're like, oh yeah, Black Panther died. Okay, back to Hellions. It's like, it's weird. They're like murdering people and you're just like, Black Panther died and people are getting murdered.
Yeah.
It's like those weird and unorganic news transitions where they're talking about something kind of sad, but then they go
and then
into
they go
like,
to something crazy. Oh my god.
Yeah, just something very inappropriate. And that's what it kind of felt like, being so, like, shoehorned into everything. Whereas this, it felt like almost like they were celebrating him as a character and what he represented in kind of an icon as a character within their movieverse. And then they could have sold it as like something nice, like made a big deal about it. And they're like, look, this is a limited edition Chadwick Boseman Memorial comic. I mean, I know it's a little crass to capitalize off of people's death, but I mean, this is Disney we're talking about, so.
Yeah, they pretend like they're not doing that. And people are defending Disney, too, the fact that they're not going to let it's frustrating. It's frustrating. I'm like, you guys are pawns.
The marketing alone is some nonsense when you think about it, just moralistically and like practicality. Like they fucked up the moral end, they fucked up the marketing end. So it's like they burned both bridges. And it's just awkward dredge through comics right now, which really didn't help X of Swords' overbranding and like font approach in general. Just even beginning of Dawn of X. Let's go back to just Dawn of X and like the Marauders logo in itself with the skull and all that. That's been problematic from day one. And now we have this talked down later. It's like a NASCAR fucking sponsorship program on like covers.
God.
Comments. What's happening?
It's crazy. The Marauder logo isn't as frustrating for me as you. But this like 5 different logos on one cover is getting out of hand, and I don't want to see it anymore. What do you think of this cover? Danny, how do you like it? We got Storm right in the center with the Wakandans down at the bottom and the mutants up at top. Why Storm on the cover? Is she in this issue? I mean, not Storm. Well, sorry, Jean Grey.
Jean Grey is, I believe, in like one kind of like...
Yeah, Kitty was...
Flashback scenario? There was reference to her because she goes... Storm goes throughout a lot of her history in this, just as like kind of an offside as her getting, I don't know if it's something internal that she's trying to break down where she's going through all the stuff she's went through and that's why she's remembering it, mm-hmm. or if that's something they're doing to kind of bring the reader up to speed on Storm and a little bit of her trials and tribulations. Because I know that Jean doesn't play any like significant role, so for her being on the cover is kind of weird. Even Wolverine too.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. It's
Larna would kind of make more sense. So like Polaris would fit, but
Polaris. I mean, Kitty's in this.
Kitty, issue. Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, that actually would have kind of fit even more than Wolverine, especially. So
yeah,
I don't know, but I mean, all that would have been a waste of time because all I give a shit about is Suri's Voltron hands.
Voltron hands, yeah. Look at those hands, rocking them.
I love those Voltron hands. They're awesome. I think that's one of the greatest design choices ever. But those Voltron hands bring back so much joy.
But can you write with a pencil holding those? That's the real skill.
No, you can only violently grip things like a
Yeah,
tiger
just
mauling at a
crunch
stick.
down on it, just yeah, shatter
Would never
it.
want to shake hands with those, especially since they're powered with some sort of energy pulse that could probably vaporize your hand.
Right? Yeah.
So,
Yeah, probably not the best.
but that tiger punch, all these other cool. Oh man, those would be a blast to have.
I would definitely enjoy those. I hope those come to market in our lifetime. Oh, we'll
That
see.
overall, it's not a bad like design for the cover. I
I
mean,
dig it. I
headers and
dig it.
fonting aside, the cover's pretty good.
I dig it. I love it for sure. And we got a new writer coming into this book. We got Vita Ayala, and we got Matteo Loli, which has done some art in the past.
True.
And cover artist is Dotterman and Wilson, which have also done some stuff in the past. And that Alex Ross
For a
book
bit, yeah.
is out too. I wonder which variant came out this week.
Yeah, he's been steady on all of these, and it seems like that it's been pretty similar, just like one pose, basic characters. I just wonder if this has Storm on it or if they put someone else
I'd
in the
imagine.
lower left
Oh yeah,
field.
that'd be good. Interesting. Yeah, I went to
Oh, yeah, Storm.
my local, yeah, probably Storm. I went to my local shop last week and they only had the Jean Grey one, so I imagine they're coming out weekly.
Yeah.
Slowly. Yeah,
They're probably
didn't
limited too, very limited.
yeah, there wasn't that many of those Jean Greys. But yeah, let's get into this, shall we? You ready for this?
Definitely.
Where are we at? All right. When the fire swept through, we were trapped, just waiting to die. But then she came. I never felt so safe. She was so calm, but you could feel the power in her, you know? Not the weather stuff, but something else. I just knew no matter what else happened, she was there, and we were gonna be okay. And this is a quote from an Onslaught survivor talking about Aurora, I imagine. Save
Like
being the
Onslaught,
savior
as in like the amalgamation of like
of
the anger and hate inside Charles
Charles
and Magneto.
and Magneto, yep. Which is pretty much just a Magneto on steroids visually, yeah.
Yeah. It's like they imprinted Magneto's evil side onto Charles's psyche and it fractured him into this madman. That Onslaught? Wow. So this is like a PSA
Yeah.
like for Onslaught survivors. It's like you can seek help. And you will get it. Call now. It's interesting. Interesting way to start this for like a storm-based issue in X of Swords. I'm very intrigued by that choice. I wonder what motivated them to like pull that one specifically. And what the nod to Onslaught is trying to
I
allude to.
guess it's I imagine like Storm coming down. It's like they're manifesting this goddess, right? This goddess who came from the skies that seem almost a savior from the skies, which is very fitting to, I guess, Storm's persona, right?
Oh, I guess that's it fits to her persona. That makes sense. I just
Yeah.
wondered if there was like a deeper than
I doubt,
like
yeah,
nod to
I doubt they're trying that hard.
some
Well,
sort of
maybe.
symbolism in the
Yeah.
Onslaught event that is like akin to what's going on here. Oh,
Yeah.
I was hoping because I'm like, what would that be, that Easter egg? That'd be kind of cool if
That
that
would be
came to play.
interesting if it came around, but I'm gonna say no, but if it does, I will be pleasantly surprised for sure.
It was all Franklin Richards the whole
It was all,
time.
oh my God. We'll t maybe we'll touch on that in a little bit, but no. Not now. That frustrates me, and I don't want to be frustrated. Calm,
I
calm,
know
calm.
that's a dark time.
Calm
You
blue
thought that Phoenix
oceans.
stuff was bad. Oh.
Calm blue oceans. Calm blue oceans. Let's go to Krakoa, shall we?
Yes.
Before the storm, as the writer puts it, and we get a Storm rocking her white outfit, which is my second favorite Storm outfit outside of her like awesome Mohawk outfit.
It does coordinate well with her hair, especially with the hairpiece that she adds to it to keep the coordination going.
Yeah. And she is why are all these books lamenting? Everyone's lamenting when we start. I guess it's to set up like the narrative a little bit, right? Throw that plot to the reader, One thing I gotta say, man, is the idea that, we're running way too hard with the concept that Stanley had, that every reader's comic book could potentially be someone's first book. I think we might have said this before, but man, that we're seeing that idea spread so much, but at the expense of like narrative, you know.
It's pulling on both ends. You're trying to build a inclusive, big, grandiose franchise, mm-hmm. but then make every issue like it's the first issue. That's gonna pull the narrative at both sides and tear it down the center.
Yeah. And this is kind of why I wish that they would just stop. I think the floppies, if they stop selling floppies and go just to trades, like, you wouldn't need to do this, right? Because you wouldn't have to catch a reader up every issue.
Well, realistically and ideally, they need to scale back first. Like, they'd have to pull it back to more limited series, do what I was talking about earlier about one-shots and do trade paperback one-shots, mm-hmm. things like that. That would be more appropriate for not only the release, but the market and just the average user. If you're trying to squeeze every dime out of every release and just rake in as little bit of money as you can off of the expense of just this overabundance, and you're just repeating the mistakes of all the failed attempts of the previous generations of comic book companies and distributors. I mean, look at the 90s. The comic book crash was that exact reason. They overstocked on the Superman comic, The Death of Superman. Everyone bought up the ones they wanted. The rest sat on shelves, and they just kind of collected dust, and the industry crashed.
Yep, yep.
So the only way to counter that is to scale back. And if they do that, then later on we could maybe phase out floppies. I don't know. I'd be fine with, like, still doing floppies for big events, but I don't know. Like, every fucking month, you got to put out, like, hundreds of fucking floppies.
Yeah, it's like, a lot. Really. It's a lot for the reader.
Especially think about all the indie ones that they're, like, racking up shelves with. I mean, we were joking about it earlier, but there's, like, fucking shelves of Savage Dragon out there. In floppy format. I mean, we're using modern technology to print out that. So future looks bright.
Future. What a future we'll have for our children. Not my children. Your children.
My children. Fuck that. I will never bring them into this one. They will. It's too dark.
They will leave this world dried and dead and shriveled on a sock.
Bendis is still alive. I would never bring him to such a dark world.
But Storm is, she has like a flashback of you know, Lorna telling her I guess poem, her omen, her kind of
cryptic haiku about what your sword message is.
Yeah. And as it's happening, we get a Kitty coming in, Kate coming in and just tending to kind of Storm. She knew that she was going to be here because this is where she is when she's always kind of sad and lamenting and whatnot. And as this is happening, we're kind of getting flashbacks of Storm, you know, of her, you know, back in Africa and whatnot, and her just random flashbacks of events from her childhood, pretty much. As Kitty's just like, yo, what are you up to? You want me to help you with this? I'm good with riddles. I know the riddles. And she's like, nah, I gotta solve this riddle on my own. She's like trying to backseat drive a little bit on this.
And why is she even trying to go through the portal at all is what I wondered right away, because I thought that they figured out how to resurrect her and they figured out why the portals didn't work for her, but I didn't think she could use the Krakoan gates now. But she seems pretty gung-ho about just diving into it and being like, let's go, I'll go with you.
Did they forget? Maybe
maybe she forgot and she'll just walk right into it and like break her nose again. I like how she has the slash haircut again too. They brought back that design,
the slash haircut.
Cool. She's in that Hellions issue like after this one, and they got the hair right in that one, but in this one they made her look like Slash again. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny. It looks like she has like a dead poodle on her head or something. But Aurora's like, I don't need any help, because honestly, I never needed any help. For some reason, they put me on those missions with you just to watch over you, actually. I'm pretty good at solo stuff. I'm an Omega Love mutant, so.
Yeah, I'm out.
Not to be a dick or anything, but later.
Yeah.
I'm good.
But yeah, she pieces. She goes and does her thing. And we go to this page where we get this history lesson on Wakanda. And essentially the first, you know, the first kind of asteroid or meteor that hit down with that vibranium metal, that Wakandan metal, the first thing they forged with it as a kind of a union between all the tribes and whatnot is this sword called Skybreaker, right? It's just this unwieldy weapon that essentially the king of Wakanda wielded and passed down from generation to generation, and now it's just kind of like this sacred monument that's kept in, like, I guess, what it, I guess this, I guess, building. I don't know. You would think it'd
Well,
be in like a museum,
Wakanda
right?
off of this nation, the whole nation of Wakanda grew from here, so I imagine they had some sort of a keep away or some sort of sacred chamber. They probably built like a citadel over it or some sort of holy place to hide and rest it and keep it safe at all times. Because later on in the story, they reveal that it's ceremonial and like artifact in the sense that no one is playing with it and wielding it. It's kept away for religious and political purposes. And note that it's also the sharpest blade in all the land, which all these swords in X of Swords fucking say that. It's gonna piss you off when you notice the sharpest blade cut by no other. It's like, okay, are you all equal sharp, or is there like a level? Like, can I rank these sharpness? What's going on here?
I mean, that mirrors humanity quite well. Everyone's ego thinks they're better than everyone else's, right? And they're not
There you go.
reading. None of these people are reading anyone else's shit. They're like, fuck them. I'm doing my shit. I have the better sword. I have the better sword. I'm writing about the better sword.
The sword evolved too as it went on. It was like more of a dagger when they first showed it, and then it kind of grew to a short sword, and then it looked like a full, like, kind of long sword as it transitioned through the story. It seemed like they couldn't decide
Size
on the
changes.
design, and they realized, you know what? Let's make it more epic. It's like you said, they wanted to endow it more, like, not make big.
Bigger. Yeah.
It's a cool sword though. It can
I dig
redirect
it.
energy and duplicate it essentially. It's a conduit to manipulate the energy and raise the output. And so they were using things like lightning to fucking channel it originally. Because later on you could just channel any energy from like a beam, or like Scott could use his optic blast or something stupid. You know?
Exactly,
But
yeah.
back then they had to literally wait for lightning. Like in a lightning storm, I imagine the king of Wakanda threw down and didn't give a fuck. He was just like, yeah, thunderbolt, thunderbolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
And this is actually, remember that because it's going to play into Storm's battle in the future, folks. But very key to this weapon. We who. What are we doing here? Where am I at? I lost my place. I'm good. We're here. Okay, so we go to the throne room, right? And on the throne room, we get Shuri and Queen Mother, Queen Regent Mother. What did they call her? I guess whatever. Mom, Grandma Queen, Mama Queen.
Big
Let's
Mama's
go.
house?
Yeah, Big Mama's house.
What?
She's Big Mama's house, and we.
It's a queen mother. It reminds me of like Game of Thrones. It's
Yeah.
kind of like that kind of endearing kind of
Yeah.
term.
Yeah. And we get this throughout this whole conversation. It's kind of annoyed me, but I get it at the same time. There's so much formality happening in these conversations. And I'm just like, get to the point. Get go. Come on, talk faster. And but
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like political red tape is like hamming everybody up, and
Yeah.
they're just like trying to be polite, and they're very happy and friendly with each other. But it's like the political subterfuge kind of sneaks in every now and then, and it causes the conversation tone to shift dramatically and violently. Where it's just like, I need your help. Well, I will do anything to help you. I need this. Oh my God, you're going to bring war upon us. It's like,
That's pretty much what happens here, right? So we get Aurora kind of coming into the throne room, welcoming Shuri and Big Mama's house, and again, they're just like, we get this entire like red tape, as you said, and then essentially she gets to the point. She's like, Rakoa's in danger. We need Rakanda's aid. I request this weapon, and she tells more or less the retelling of Four Horsemen a little bit, and their story of Arako and whatnot, and Otherworld, and all that, and you even get Shuri, and the mother's just like, all right, let's do this. You know, we got the Nation Maker, we got Panther's Claws, we got King's Mercies. Take your pick. Take out all these weapons. What do you need?
I did appreciate that they had a decent amount of ancient swords in their armory.
Yeah,
that there wasn't just one sword in their entire timeline, because they're an old kingdom that has a lot of history. And these swords are all tied to different events throughout not only like the Marvel comic era of Black Panther, but just the Wakandan history. And yes, that was actually very surprising. That level of detail, I appreciated, because it gives good world building and it creates this nice historical narrative behind this X of Swords events about swords. So why not dive into the history of the swords in Wakanda in this issue, which they could have, you know, typically they would have skipped something like that. But I appreciate that this was done. Yeah, they give her the keys to any sword in their history except the one sword that they don't mention. And she's like, well, what about that one? And they're like, oh, you done fucked
No. Look at their eyes, too, in that one panel. She's holding Shuri back. It's like, all right. Let me go at her. I'm ready. She's like,
hold me back. Hold me back. I'll fuck this bitch up right here. Just for Skybreaker? Like, yeah, dude, you just respect me for my mother. Go to my house to talk this kind of shit. Yeah. She even gives her some eyes later.
Dude,
she
looks the eyes. those evil eyes at the end. But yeah, more or less, they kind of go back and forth with all these formalities. But it comes down to, like, please stay. You're welcome to stay here as long as you need. And once T'Challa comes back from his journey, I think they mentioned where he was going. But once he comes back from his journey, then we will discuss this matter further, pretty much. And she just kind of resigns herself, or resigns herself. She even was about to fight it for a second. She's like, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And she bows, and she bails. And yeah, that's when we get those Shuri eyes. Look at those evil eyes, man. She's just like,
daggers. Mm-mm. Just staring daggers through those eyes.
I know what you're about to do. Yeah.
Plus, she doesn't trust her, because she knew that if she said, she was like, the world is doomed. And then she backed away from it instantly, which was that's a bad bluff. Yeah. You can't do that. You got to ease your way back. You got to work it back. You can't just do an about face, because then right away they're like, wait, what's your grift?
Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I do like that our whole like thing is, though, like, okay, essentially what's going to happen, a gate's going to open and a horde of like murderers is going to ride out that we can't stop. There's nothing we can do to stop it. The only way I can stop is the sword. I got to play by the rules. Give me the sword. She just keeps repeating that over and over again. And it bounces off all that red tape and goes nowhere, because essentially they're like, well, Black Panther might be back in 2 days, maybe less. We're going to have to wait. And she's like, the world will be done by then. And she's like, yeah, I acknowledge that, but formality.
Yep. Pretty much.
And that's where it ends.
And that's what we get, yeah.
You're like, what's happening here? This seems like a very weird diplomatic situation that could have been drawn out a little better.
It is a little weird, right? Like, especially in the Marvel Universe, you got to take the idea that the world's going to end with a grain of salt. I'm sure a lot of people yell at a lot of superheroes to go, like, the world's going to end. And they're just like, all right, buddy, calm down. Tell me some questions first, you know. I'm sure they're kind of over it, like kind of like some cops are over some people's bullshit these days.
Great story, man. Inside the roof, aliens, sure. Yeah, I'm not going to waste my time investigating this. I got better shit to do.
Yeah, it's okay.
But yeah, it's like the world ends almost every week in the comic universe. I get that. It just feels like even then, though, their approach to it still seems kind of funny. They're just like, hey, you know what? Like, we'll table that.
Yeah. It's too bureaucratic. I hate it. It boils my blood, that type of communication, because it's just non-speak. It's non-speak.
Well, also think how advanced and intelligent their nation is. If they're supposedly ahead of their time, it seems like they're very, I don't know, I guess stuck in their ways of being arrogant.
I guess it comes from being such isolationists for so long, maybe.
Oh, yeah, they're taking like a kind of feudal Japan's like kind of approach.
Yeah.
I can see that. It's like, even though they were a very advanced society that had a lot of leaps and bounds in technological advancements, they were still very, like, close-minded and arrogant with that kind of isolationist approach. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness they opened it up, because we got ramen.
Yeah, ramen. Noodles.
those noodles from those immigrants. Mm. And those Japanese were like, all right, we'll see what we do with these noodles. If Wakanda could just open up, they could get ramen too.
But we
I
could.
figure like they could dive into research from this because a lot of the history that's tied into the Four Horsemen kind of echoes throughout the African nation history in general in the Marvel universe. So I would assume they would have ancient tomes or secrets or hidden relics that could maybe kind of shed light on what Storm's saying. I feel like they could have wrote that in and
Right.
it wouldn't have felt like so much like a MacGuffin, you know?
You would think, right?
It would have fit.
Hmm.
I mean, they have this giant fucking croissant or like crazy shaped citadel that has all these artifacts in it, but they don't have one kind of thing that talks about Apocalypse's nonsense and the stuff he did up in Egypt or any of the other places nearby.
Right. Apocalypse needed to write more throughout time. That's his problem. He laid way too low. And now
Well,
he's
but
just
he
all like, I've
was
been around.
facilitating and threading things everywhere. And at one point, he ruled the entire like continent of Africa, and I think good parts of the Middle East, and like
Good
I
point.
think going and stretching into China. I think there was points where they were alluding as him being other characters throughout history that were iconic villains, infamous characters, things like Genghis Khan and stuff like that. Maybe not Genghis Khan specifically, but I know there was a bunch that they said that, oh, that was Apocalypse in disguise. So I would have assumed that he would have so much history, and this nation is so old and powerful that they should have something that could kind of like connect these dots. And this weird writing that they're using here to kind of ham up the progression is just kind of lazy, it feels.
Little
Like, look at this strife. Now we got a force storm to play our hand now, even though this should have worked out fine.
should have, it should have, but you gotta have that conflict.
That's what I'm saying. That's like you were saying in the beginning too, with the her being downtrodden. They have to start that character's hero journey and build up towards this reprieve and redemption.
Yeah, it gets repetitive for sure. But we cut to we learn about some kingdoms. The first one we learn about is Sevelith. Regents are Countix Oblia and Countix Obscura. Obscura and Oblia, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is they're like blood drinking vampire nation.
Yeah,
They're
the nation
monster.
of vampire people. And as cool as that seems, I'm kind of whatevs about the nations now. They're kind of all coming blurred together.
A little bit. They don't, yeah. They're just, they're these, all the kingdoms that don't play too much of a role outside of they're going to be watching the tournament. These are the people who are watching. You know, this very exclusive, very much like an old, like timey, like noble, like knights, you know, jousting. Only like the nobles kind of watch it, right? It's not like for all the people type of situation.
Yeah, I appreciate that they try to flesh that out a little bit, but I feel like doing it here in this Marauders issue or in other issues like they did with Wolverine, it kind of detracts from the story and it doesn't really help build the
A
world
little
in a
bit.
fun way. It more kind of labors it a little bit.
A little bit. You know, you're not learning the characters through like storytelling. You're just like, here's some shit. And I'm just like, all right, I don't give a
Well,
fuck.
do like a little side story, like kind of how they did
Oh,
the
yeah.
Black Rider and then like Watchmen and stuff like that. Like even though that stuff was definitely detracting from the story, if you do actually something tied to it at maybe the end, that would fit perfectly and get me to know a little bit more about this realm and this location.
There you go.
It was cool when you read about it the first time, but then when you think about it, you're like, oh, you know what? I would have liked to have seen a story from that. That would stick with me better and actually have more of an impact. Can I like relate to the characters in a way where I see their lives play out and know what's going on? Because some of this day-to-day stuff seems kind of cool, so a few pages on it wouldn't have hurt. It probably would have really helped the greater mythos that they're building here. Unless they want to throw this shit away hard when they're done with X of
Yeah, right. I
Swords.
guess it's probably you'll never remember it again. Who gives a fuck?
Ah, fuck. And
I
that's
hope
why
not.
this is just detracting.
I don't know.
I
They're
do.
if they're putting in Magum Jaspers, I feel like there's gonna be something, a bigger picture playing.
Well, he's almost a bigger picture in what he's doing, but that's going to shift to whatever he wants because how his power unfolds is so grandiose that you really can't rein it in, even in something like this.
Yeah. You really can't. He could control everything and anything. And fuck you up. And then we learn about the Mercators. And we don't know the regents. There's an unknown regent. What do we know about them? They're like a lost. They came to Saturnine. They kind of live above the Citadel, I think. Are these the fish people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
God
they're the
damn.
fish people. I was trying to picture them and I was like, oh, I remember what they look like now. Oh, yeah. They're fucking fish people.
Yeah, okay. So they're the fish people. Fucking fish Rachel fucking up shit last time.
They couldn't hold it down. They had one job.
Yeah. Whatever. So yeah, that's all you need to know about the Regents. But moving on, we go to Storm, and she's hanging out in her room, I guess, some guest room. And this is the most unbelievable thing right here is that we get Shuri wheeling in a cart of food instead of fucking some servant wheeling it in. I refuse to believe that she would wheel that food in herself.
And no, it's the old trope of like trying to sneak something in using a food cart for room service. Instead, she's using that as instead of hiding underneath it and waiting there, she's using that itself as a ploy to get
As the
in to just
thing.
talk to her.
There you
And
go.
it's just it's so brilliant.
No. Like, I see what you're doing, bitch. I see what all
Yeah.
you're doing. Playing these games, and they're just
She's honey
talking.
partner.
Honeypot. Never fall for it.
She even throws back that food and she's look at all this food.
It's good shit. Check it out.
Now tell me what you're up
Yeah,
to.
now what are you up to? Don't do it. Don't do what you're thinking about doing. That's all it comes down to, right? Is this whole conversation is just like
They rehash the exact same conversation. Storm says, you don't understand. The gates, if they open, the world devoured. And she's like, you don't understand. We gotta wait 2 days, maybe less. T'Challa's not here, so what do you want me to do? And she's like, "Oh, help me save the world." And she's, "No,
Yeah,
we still have
pretty
to wait."
much. We have to
So what do you
wait.
want me to do? Well, help me save the world. They just go back and forth like that.
That's
I
pretty
could
much
help
it.
you to the end of time with whatever you want. Okay, give me the sword. Can't do that.
It's so fake, and this is, I hate this. I hate this fake communication, but because it's like 5 pages of this, no joke, of just them back and forth going like, we used to be sisters and you could trust me for everything. And she's just like, I do trust you. Can I have the sword? And she's just like, no. And it's, I don't get what's happening. Why? What is, are they talking to one another? What's the purpose of this? None of them, neither of them are talking to each other. They're just talking at each other or around each other.
Yeah, they're stuck in the same narrative point, and neither one of them back down. This is the problem when you have debates, and a lot of people are very entrenched in their views. No one really ever makes their point, or no one ever really agrees or disagrees. You just have two people going in circles about the same thing.
Exactly. It's
They don't
literally.
change their point. Then they're like, "Hey, I'm just debating my point over and over and over again, and I don't care what I hear you say. I don't care what you counter with. I just want to do this over and over and over again, no matter what."
Yep.
I'm stuck on repeat.
It's like a presidential debate. No one's really like
Yes.
making up decisions based off of what you're saying there. It's just marketing points. We all understand marketing at this point and whatnot, so it's pointless. But
Yeah. And
yeah.
that's the red tape we were talking about, like the political red tape that's them playing off of that notion. And it's crazy too, because Storm was queen in Wakanda at one point when
Yep.
she was still married to T'Challa, and they And she even like brings that up, and they both agree, and they're like, "Yeah, no, we, I totally got your back, but I don't have your back." And it's like, well, it's so weird, this violent like change in tone throughout both their conversations. And there are times when you believe them, where you're like, "Oh, they do. They generally care for each other, and they see each other as sisters." But then it instantly falls out, and they're like not sisters; they're like bitter enemies.
Yep.
She's like, "My mom had to talk the council down. People were thinking about they're about to revolt in the streets. Like, if it's Wakanda's so great and prosperous, why are you guys like 1 second away from falling apart just because Storm wants you to help her out from not letting the world get destroyed?" She's like, "We have to fix Wakanda," and you're like, "Okay, that's great, but if there's no world left, then how do you fix Wakanda?" And she's like, "Well, we gotta fix Wakanda." That's what I say, like it's
Yep.
entrenched debating. You can't escape it.
It's dumb. But yeah, she leaves. They're all like, all right, well, we'll talk later. This is getting nowhere. Thanks for the food. She bails, and that pisses Storm off. So she's just like, you know what? I'm proud that I got no food on my white outfit, but it's time to wear the black. So she whips out the black uniform and she goes out. She's about to take care of business. But before that happens, or I guess as that's happening, should we get like a little flashback with we get T'Challa and Aurora, and they're just having like a nice tour of Wakanda, and he's just teaching her stuff about all these sacred things and whatnot.
Oh, these state secrets specifically. Yeah. Well, she comments on it one point and says, like, it's really weird that he told me this. I wonder if he did it on purpose.
Yes.
Because it's such a weird fucking flashback to have that like fits 100% what she needs right there at the moment.
Like, check out this really cool security system. It's awesome. You flip this switch, it goes off. Isn't that really cool?
There's really only one way to get through this. And let me tell you right now.
So they're hinting at the idea that T'Challa is telling her, more or less hinting at telling her. Laying them breadcrumbs out. And she kind of knows like she, what to do. She like essentially takes some lightning and hits this center, and it deactivates all the security systems. And she has like a certain amount of time, right? Half an hour, I believe.
And I think there's a bunch of drones outside that she like lightning bolted as well.
Yes,
there's like a cadre of drones hanging out. Yeah, she just, all right, there's fucking security drones far just floating around in front of this fucking like armory, this or I guess you could say artifact to hold
whatever this base is.
Why would they just have floating drones? Why wouldn't they just have like hidden security systems? It almost seems weird.
It's weird.
Or like have them like deposit away. Like it's like a final boss kind of mission. Mm-hmm. Like you're in a video game almost. I have to dart past the drones. I feel like she's like doing her best Solid Snake impersonation right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
That black suit doesn't have her cape either. That's also something I just realized. Mm-hmm. That the black suit doesn't rock the cape because she's trying to be more stealth, kind of throwing back to her original days as being like a pickpocket thief on the streets of Cairo.
Yep. And we did see a flashback of her in Cairo earlier in one of those panels.
And her parents and her eating ice cream.
And her parents were eating ice cream, yeah.
So random. I was like, oh, okay.
But we still get like these little snippets of T'Challa kind of just like, yeah, check out the security system and all its details and features and everything you need to know about it. And as it's happening, she's still going throughout the base, right? And we get some of these, what are the soldiers called? I already forgot. The Malaj, Dormalaj, that's what they're called. Dormalaj.
Sounds right to me.
And they're just kind of hanging out, and then the lights go out, and then you see Storm fucking not snapping necks, but choking bitches in the background in the shadows, and this dude's just like, what's happening? And then the lights come back on, and just Storm running at you. That would be
That was like the progression of the ninjas falling Wolverine.
Yeah.
In that Wolverine issue. Yeah. It's just she's sneaking up closer and closer in between the lightning. I wonder if she's purposely timing, controlling the lightning outside and having it do that to mask her, or if she's just taking advantage of what's going on. I bet she's wielding it.
She's wielding it. I bet
she's like, lightning now, I'm going to move. Lightning now, I'm going to move. I hope so. Yeah. Oh, man. I want to play a espionage like Metal Gear Solid Splinter Cell game with Storm.
I would be all for that. Let's make it happen, folks.
That'd be awesome.
Just give me a level. Not even a game. I'll take a level.
Aurora! Dun, 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 dun.
But she goes to town on this one of these soldiers, and it actually takes her, you know, it doesn't take just one hit for this one. It takes a few hits, but she eventually gets him down.
He calls her a traitor and like talks mad shit to her while they're doing it.
Oh yeah, she does say traitor, yeah.
She grandstands hard. She's like, I'm fighting for what's right.
Yeah. Ha! Bam!
Knocked him out.
2 days, bitch. I can't wait 2 days. And again, we get a flashback of T'Challa this time holding Skybreaker, and this is like, check it out, check out these lasers. This is how you deactivate them. It's like, this is weird.
She freezes them in such a cool but small pose. Look at that little just panel right there of her floating in front of the stand and freezing it and the room around her ambiently while she just kind of has that pose. I really dug that, but I wish it was blown up.
Yeah, that would have been
that should have been like the centerpiece while everything was kind of layered on top of it. That would have fit much better. But I dig that. I do like how she just kind of iced out everything.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of the X-Men movie in X-Men 2. They're trying to shut down, they're trying to freeze up the room.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That was legit.
Yeah, same vibes for sure. But yeah, so she goes, she freezes, and then she breaks open I guess the safe, whatever it's in.
It's like a glass container.
Glass
case
container.
Skybreaker.
And she does a little Indiana Jones where she tries to do the old switcheroo with the sword. For a sword, but before that happens, we get she gets attacked by Voltron hands herself, Shuri. Oh man, and she was probably telling, I imagine, most of the time.
Yeah, she seems like she was onto her from the get-go, just from the very first conversation. So it was like, yeah, they're gonna fight. There's no way this is gonna go off without a hitch. Yeah. Plus, her whole swap idea was. And in premise, it just seems wonky because, like, when the alarm goes off, they're going to know exactly why. They're not going to be like, let's go investigate it. No, the sword's there, but the alarm's going off. Why? I don't know. Wait, this sword is fake. Who could have done it? I don't know. Wasn't Aurora here for the sword? Maybe. Let's go ask her.
Oh, she's not here anymore. What?
She's gone! Oh my god! We were flim-flammed! It doesn't seem... I like the throwback to Indiana Jones when it's appropriate. In a high-tech futuristic city in an X-Men crossover event, maybe not so much.
Not so much. The old switcheroo. That's yeah. All that technology, right? Oh man. It's ridiculous. But yeah, they kind of have this back and forth a little bit talking about how they're sisters, but I don't get it at all because they're about to punch each other in the face. So I want to so that's what happens. They punch each other in the face a little bit. And there's a little bit of back and forth. And
some combos.
So a little bit of combos happening. They're not really talking about anything important, though, right?
It's the same conversation they were having in the room, except instead of eating, they're punching and kicking each other.
Yeah. It's one thing to note is while all of this is happening, we're kind of getting every once in a while we're getting like reboot in 18 minutes, reboot in 15 minutes. So we're seeing the time kind of play out in real time, I guess.
Well, because if it reboots, then the security system knows she's there and they've been alerted, and the jig is up.
So like,
yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, but she's fighting Siri, sure. Who obviously has been alerted, and the jig is up. The tension's gone. Like, you've lost the tension.
Yeah, you can stop this. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But it seems like even Aurora was like, all right, I'm over this. And it just freezes Voltron arms off.
It would be funny if she, like, freezes her and knocks her out and then puts the fake sword up there and then leaves. And, like, Siri wakes up and she's like, oh, good, she didn't take the sword.
And she doesn't even notice. Oh.
Everything back to normal, everyone. Nothing to see here. Yeah. I'm not going to tell mom about this.
And then she gets up and fucking, like, as she knocks down her Voltron hand, she whips out a sword and she fights her with a sword. And Aurora, just do the same thing again and you're good. And then just go. But she does something pretty interesting too. She's just like, all right, you know what? I'm sorry. And then she just touches her sword with her finger and electrocutes her. I'm glad she stopped playing with her after a while, though.
But keep in mind, this is also Suri's sword, which is supposed to be, I imagine, some sort of vibranium kind of design, but the other sword is supposed to be sharpest in all the land compared to even the vibranium weapons. So I imagine Aurora wielding that Skybreaker would have just cut through Suri's sword from the get-go, but they really wanted to use this funny plot device.
Yeah. But it's really showing that Shuri didn't really have the chance, it seems. Like, she's just getting played around with.
Do you think she wanted to tase her just to be, just really, like, bring it home? Like, fuck you for getting in my way?
Yeah. I think it's just like, you know what? I love you, but I gotta, you know what? You're wasting my time. So, I'm gonna waste a little of your time and a little bit of your health. Punch in the face. So, she and Indiana Jones the sword after she shocks her out, takes it, and right as it happened, the reboot from the system happens, and everything kind of locks down. So she fucked up. She took too long. She was playing around way too long.
Yeah, she really was. She set her up just to kind of like grandstand and they were like, I let you disarm me, and then just tase the shit out of her by touching her sword, which is the tip of her finger, like, dead. Or done. Just you're out, and then now I'm gonna do my crazy little swaparoo, and now this was just a waste of time.
Yeah, it's weird. And now everything seems rushed at the end right here, where it's just like, all right, so she goes, she rushes to the door closes, she tries to use her old access keys, all of them don't work anymore, so she just shocks the shit out of the door, and then she's met by robots, and I'm just like, okay, whatever, robots, that's a whole page. And she's even like, my beloved ex-husband never told me about robots.
It's the one thing he left out. Yeah. And changed it. She's like, they wouldn't have changed their access codes. Oh, that didn't work. What robots? I didn't know about this.
And then we
Did you even really need this plan from the get-go? I kind of feel like all these little like failings on the infiltrating end shows that Aurora should have just came in and just wrecked the place. Didn't even bother with the swaparoos or any of the flimflams. Just should have blown the whole thing up. I mean, you get it. She wanted to look cool when tasing Siri, but still.
You gotta look cool, man. You gotta look cool. But as she destroys the final robots, she's met with T'Challa, Black Panther himself, with his soldiers waiting for him. And even the Storm is just like, bitch, there's no time for bureaucratic games. I'm tired of this. And even he's just like, why didn't you just tell me? And he's just like, she's just like, I don't know why she even kind of gives into him a little bit. And this is like, you know, it's, I did it for my people, when she should have said, bitch, I did tell you. You put me on hold for 2 days, motherfucker.
Yeah, it was a weird moment where it felt like they were trying to get closure on each other, but then it turned into quick, like, just vicious fighting and bitterness between, like, a failed marriage.
Yeah.
I tried to call you. You didn't return my fucking calls. I'm trying to do the same shit that I've been dealing with all this time. I'm so pissed that Bendis broke us up for that stupid Avengers versus X-Men arc, but I can't. I have to get over it someday. Let's remember their marriage fell apart because of that.
It literally was. It was annulled at that event?
Yep, it was that event that ended their marriage, because she sided with the X-Men and T'Challa sided with the Avengers. And so, yeah.
Womp womp.
Good times.
That's definitely a way to take them. Yeah, okay.
Whatever. I like how he took off his mask, like how fucking Tony Stark always did his, where he touched it.
Yeah, and it just kind of comes off digitally. Nano.
Looks symbiote-like, too. I wonder why they fall like that. I miss the ones where he would just take off the helmet and he'd be holding it.
Right. But yeah, they kind of bicker a little bit, and she's just like, I'm leaving with this sword. I don't care how much my heart aches for you. Womp womp blah 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 blah. And she's just all like, all right. Or I mean, T'Challa's just like, you know what, I would have let you take on this if you just waited for me. And that's more or less it. There's no like closure. She just kind of walks away, and this is it. She just says, "Let her go," and she walks away. And what does he do? What does he do? What does sad T'Challa do after she walks away, Danny?
He just burned down that motherfucking portal, and if she ever wants to bring it back, she's gonna have to put out the diplomatic arm. He puts her in check as like a, she's going to need diplomatic relations to restore the bond between Krakoa and Wakanda.
Yeah.
Essentially. And that's the only way he'll receive her, because she's no longer welcome as a friend. He's so bitter now.
Yeah.
We can't even be friends anymore.
It's just like everyone, everyone, damn it, in Wakanda waits 2 fucking days. That's the rule. It's just what we do. 2 days.
We're slow. It's a lot of red tape. We can't blast through it. We have to take our time. I mean, the real tragedy here is that Storm never really got to use that duplicate blade.
Right.
You know what's funny? If T'Challa went back in there and looked and he sees the blade and he's like, oh, she left it. I was wrong. don't burn down the gate. Keep it up. Everything's fine. He sends her an email. I'm sorry. I overreacted. I've been stressed. Like, I just thought you took it, and I thought you betrayed me. But you know, we're cool. We're cool.
Yeah.
Call me.
kind of. It's a toxic relationship. They should definitely not be around each other.
I mean, what was the point of that whole like escapade? In the end, she just walked away. He let her. It didn't matter. They made this big deal.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just emotions being flown around, but no logic.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I get, it's understandable, but you guys are like being like representing nations here.
Exactly.
But we
learn like a teen romance drama.
yeah, it does feel like that a little bit. But we learn a little bit about Skybreaker. What else do we know about it? It was created by the first father of Wakanda.
It's a conduit.
It's a conduit. It's the purest vibranium.
It takes small energy and converts it into larger amounts. So it's amplifying and channeling capability. The edge will never get dull.
The edge will never get dull, yeah. Interesting.
I do like the history behind the forging where they discovered the blade and they essentially had to build a forge in a volcano because the only way to make the blade malleable is they needed extreme heat.
Right.
So they made unique forges to accommodate for it and they had spent months forging the blade. It wasn't like something they could do in a weekend. It literally had to be a long process in a volcano.
You gotta slow cook it. You can't just like put the heat over it. Yeah.
But they deem it the purest vibranium in all the land. It's pretty cool. It does kind of stand above the other artifacts in movies that know.
Yeah.
Because the other ones I imagine are probably not the purest. This would have to be probably the purest.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what they're proclaiming here. Who knows what that truly means?
Yeah,
what is 100% vibranium? It's so pure.
but yeah, we go back to Aurora coming back to the glaive, and Kitty's there. She's like, "How did it go?" And she's just all like, "Got the sword. I fucked up relationships with Wakanda. You gotta fix that." Stabs that sword and that shit, and she's just like, "Let's do this."
Our relationship with Wakanda has been changed to complicated.
Yes.
Changed that. And I like that Magic and Wolverine are sitting down. They're not just standing there like jackasses the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
This at least shows a genuine passage of time.
Exactly. They're just waiting. Fucking. I imagine at least a day has passed.
Are we going to get like the side story one shot where they're going to show the conversation between Wolverine and, a magic when they're
right?
playing like Goldfish or something like that.
That'd be great. I want to see that. Just everyone waiting for the sword. Who has to pee? People are just like, "I gotta pee, man. I gotta pee." So,
well, do you turn around?
Turn
around. Why? Just turn around and don't listen.
Yeah.
What? What is that sound? Does anyone smell asparagus? Gross.
But that'll do it for, what are we reading? Marauders. Should we just dive directly into Hellions? Any last thoughts on, I guess, Marauders?
It was one of the better Marauders that we have gotten in a while.
And quite some time. No Dugans.
It was to be written by Dugan. And on top of that, it focused on a much more interesting character.
Yeah.
Which is... You know, Storm is quite a good character to write for because of just her power set and not only her history. And on top of that, we got some cool, like, Wakandan archaeological, like, fact-finding missions on, hey, check out this blade. Learn about this. Check out this weird architecture they have inside their society. Look at this weird political paradigm that's super messy but kind of convoluted on top of that.
What do you want to do? 2 days.
There you go, Marauders. And I'm like, all right, I dig it. I can take all this as a Marauders issue and be happy with it. Probably one of the weaker X of Swords comparatively to maybe like the bigger issues of, what was it? There's Stasis later on, but then Creation. Like those ones kind of put so much into it that you get enough out of it where you feel kind of satisfied. Where this one's like, okay, you're one part to a bigger story that's going on right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll do it for us for Marauders. Let's dive just straight into Hellions, shall we? This is...
The main eventer.
This is the main event, man. I don't even give a shit about the tournament. I just want to know more about this team, right? More Hellions. Wells, man. Freaking Wells is killing it.
This is like... We used to do the next event should be Dawn of Hellions instead of Dawn of X. Just
I'm okay with that.
I'm quite okay with that as well, my friend. I'm surprised. A Mr. Sinister-led team of Hellions is the greatest thing
It is.
in Sword of X so far. I can't believe I just said that.
Right? You wouldn't have thought, but here we are. Capeless and and running a team in Avalon. Throughout Avalon, what do you think of this cover, Danny?
It's a good cover. It's a very kind of...
kind of basic, but pretty good. Still solid, though.
A kind of superhero slow walk towards the camera, kind of Armageddon cover.
Yeah.
We're all lined out, equal distance, like Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for Wild Child, because he's, you know, he's quite dead.
Yeah. Steven Segovia and Sunny Go did the cover art.
Oh, Segovia. I do appreciate Segovia, so I can tell that it's got that flair.
I do dig it. Solid, but basic. Nothing special at the same time.
It's more as Deb Wells as writing, and was it Carmen
Carneto? Carneto. Yeah. Is that Spanish? Carmen Carneto, yeah, I imagine if it's
Spanish, Italian, maybe.
Yeah, or it could be Italian. Yeah, good. let's get into this. Remember always that our mutations were born from pain. When we train our gifts on our enemies, we train our sorrow, our past, our battered souls. Let us be wary of using these sacred things for war. Nightcrawler. And I think that's Nightcrawler injecting way too much of his Judeo-Christian background into his mutant abilities.
That preachy, Bible-thumping S.O.B. No.
Motherfucker.
He's been quoted, I think, a couple times now in the X of Swords issues. I believe one of the Wolverines, and then this time, and then I think there might have been one other one. No, I think actually this would be the second one. I might. Okay, so he's been quoted twice now, whereas they had that random Onslaught survivor in the last issue. So we're pulling from Onslaught survivors and Nightcrawler for a lot of our moral guidance in this X of Swords arc.
Yeah. Well, he is on the Council for Moral Guidance, so it makes sense.
There you go. He's the Council for Moral Guidance. Moral Fiber, the Council of Moral Fiber.
So we go to 2 days ago, before the culling, when they burned all those eggs. Rest in peace, eggs. We get the resurrection of Manuel De La Roca, fucking empath. And this asshole just fucking punches through his egg. He doesn't even wait. This dude's just like, rah, and gets out.
Fuck this egg.
Yeah, he's fucked this egg. Charles gives him his powers back. He's like, where the fuck am I? Fuck you. Fuck your ass. Get the fuck off me. I don't give a fuck. Get me the fuck out of here. I don't give a fuck about your shit. Fuck you. And they're just like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm done.
Charles is trying to do his kind of his bit where he's just like trying to like, what's your name, child? Who are you? You are one of us. Like, he's trying to do his inspirational speech, and Impact is just like, keep your fucking hands off me. Who the fuck are you? What's your fucking name? And Charles like, okay, you know, skip the formalities. I'm out. Clean up from here. I'm out. Come on, god damn it. I want to do this.
Right.
He's just a naked empath right there.
Just naked empath hanging out. And yeah, he's just being an asshole. He's just like, you can tell me what the fuck happened to me? Why am I dead? Why did I die? Tell me, bitch.
I remember I was in a convoy in Nebraska.
Yeah, and he's just being a real big dick, and Rachel's not having it at all.
You mean Hope?
Oh, Hope. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Hope's not having it at all, and he's just like spitting everywhere, and he's like, come on, man, this is a sterile fucking place. And he says, go hatch someone who gives a fuck. As he fucking makes a mess all over. Really?
I do like that fucking twist to it. Right? You go hatch someone who gives a fuck. Whatever. He's quick to the burns and quips, just getting back his persona. He's like hitting the ground running. It's like a well-oiled bicycle ready to go.
He is ready and rearing, but definitely rubbing in his asshole persona to you, the reader. Just for you.
I want you to remember that Empath is just permanently a dick, and there's nothing they can do to fix that.
Yeah, just the sociopath.
He spits on the ground, and Hope is pissed about that. Yep. She's like, it's a sterile environment. This is our fucking, you're spitting in our working operating room? What's going on here, man? Like, you have no class, no decorum. Nah, I'm fucking Hope Summers. you don't understand. I am a meat messiah. This is the fucking, this is now what I have to deal with. Oh boy, how the mighty have fallen.
Oh, you're just a, that's it, it does, you do get a Citadel of Ricks kind of vibe sometimes with Krakoa, or these,
yes,
super, these mutants that have these grand powers are kind of put in this role of just like day-to-day operations of shit, of mundane nonsense, and you're just like, man, one day hope could snap and shit could go sideways, you know.
She's on an island with all the mutants. Her ability is to wield the mutant powers of all mutants in proximity.
Yep.
I mean, geez, she turns that shit on, she could just destroy the world. If that's the case, then Bishop was right. Oh man.
Oh, Bishop was right. Put him in a t-shirt.
He'd have been so pissed. He'd be like, ah, oh, fuck, you made right around on this boat all the time, and all I should have done is been shot that. I should have gone back in time and murdered that baby.
Should have murdered that fucking baby. I knew it. I knew it this whole time. Damn it. All right. Champions of Krakoa were selected to each retrieve a special sword in order to participate in a cross-dimensional tournament against the champions of Urako. Unsurprisingly, none of the Hellions were among the chosen, but that doesn't mean they don't have a role to play in the ensuing conflict. Dun, dun, dun. And we go to the Quiet Council, and they are meeting over, I guess, rocks. They're talking about Rock Slide and Apocalypse Wounds and whatnot. And as this is happening, they're talking about the sword, the concept of swords, and essentially, they're worried that they sit on kind of this council that's going to be fractured because of this tournament. They have a lot to lose and not a lot to gain from it, essentially.
Yeah, and they're already working at low capacity because not only is Apocalypse off the board, but for some reason Scott and Jean are gone because they're helping investigate the stuff with Cable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's taking a lot of people away from the day-to-days of Krakoa. And
well, not Scott, Jean, I mean Jean and Storm. Because Storm's already there waiting to go in, and Jean's doing that stuff with Scott.
Right, gotcha. Yeah.
So that's why she's gone too. They got Doug still. He's hanging out up in that tree.
Yeah, they got Doug. He's still hanging out with Krakoa, you know.
He looks like he has the best job in the council.
Right, just chilling. Hanging out, not a care in the world, just talking, just translating. But then we get Sinister kind of butting in from everyone. You know, he has his tassels on his cape, just rubbing up on what's his name? Fuck,
I can't. Oh, Exodus.
Exodus. There we go. Thank you.
Pity.
And he's just like, everyone, please listen to me. I have the floor. I'm talking now. And he's just all like, you know. More or less, he talks about taking his team into Krakoa because the idea is, why spill blood? Why not? Why don't we force their hands? Why don't we make them forfeit? By what is their goal?
Taking their swords. He says, yeah. Let's take the Hellions. Let's go across enemy lines, steal their swords. If they don't have their swords and they can't gather their champions, they lose by forfeit. And that's what Emma is pointing out that he's getting at, and they decide to pass a vote on that idea because everyone's just like, okay, we can kind of preempt him, and this will be our plan B. Like, this will be our kind of, our Ocean's 12 moment or Ocean's 11 moment kind of situation where you can send someone in behind enemy lines and pull like a kind of a heist. It's turned into a bit of a heist mission.
A little bit
I like that down. Aspect of it, too.
I dig it. And we get this kind of communication between the council on what they want to do. I like how as that's happening, we get Sinister just talking to Krakoa, and he's just talking, and Sinister's like, get your jaw off the floor, you big, beautiful island. We get Doug just like, just ignore him.
He's trying to cover Krakoa. He's like, don't pay. Don't give him any time. Well, they're all trying to debate over like how they vote about it. They end up passing the resolution about doing the mission.
Yeah.
But the twist is that they're gonna force fucking
Sinister
to take point on it, and he's like, whoa. I didn't say anything about me taking point on this mission. This was just my idea. They have a leader. They will send him out. Psylocke's there. Everything's fine. We're good. Don't pull me into this. I'm more of a hands. I'm a management kind of guy. Put the script out of it. They're like, and now we vote for this.
Yeah, and
but it doesn't pass initially.
Doesn't pass initially, and he's just all like, you know, I'm gonna need Havoc on this mission. And then he leans over towards Magneto, and he's just like, you know, I saw you taking my boy on your mission. He came back like a puppy dog. Don't hurt my boy. I don't want you taking him away from me.
And he talks about how his daughter's gonna corrupt him and make him into a terrible, violent teen. She's a harlot is gonna corrupt my poor impressionable boy. Your terrible daughter, and that immediately causes Magneto to change his vote, and now fucking Sinister is leading the team.
Yeah,
because he originally won the vote to not be sent out, and they were gonna just let the Hellions handle it. Sinister got his way, but he couldn't leave well enough alone. Mm-hmm. He fucked it up.
Tisk tisk. Yes. So Sinister now must go on the mission.
I like that face at the final panel after, like, underneath Exodus when they pass the vote. It's just that face of, like, he just shit a brick. He's like, oh God, no, I'm going front lines.
What is happening? This is not as it planned. Not going as planned at all. But we go to, we learn about another regent, the regent of Drydor, aka the Fiefdom of Amenth, which is run by Famine and Pestilence. And essentially it's what we saw at the beginning.
The beginning of Creation.
It's more or less them taking over that kingdom, and now Pestilence and Famine kind of run it as a, what do you call that when it's a satellite of your country, I guess? Fiefdom, yeah.
No, it's a vassal nation.
Vessel Nation? Okay.
That's how it is. I remember that from Shogun Total War. When you, like, conquer someone, you could either, like, claim their land, or you could turn their nation into a puppet version of your nation, which would be a vassal nation.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. And it seems like what they did. They set up shop and took over with Famine and Pestilence running it. That's all you need to know. We don't need to know more. Yeah. So we go.
They now represent the body of a man.
Yeah.
Wait, weren't you guys somewhere else? We don't talk about Palestine anymore. No. Move on, sir.
Moving on. Yeah. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. I'm not getting involved. but moving on, we go to Purgatory, which is the Hellion staging center, and everyone's kind of. More or less hanging out, telling the mission of what's happening, right? And what's going on? What else are they talking about pre-mission here?
They're just pre-gaming. They're getting everything set up, you know. They're getting their van ready. They're getting their you know, three-piece suits and everything, their sunglasses, getting the guns loaded. Everything's going to go down good. You know, just got to stick to the plan.
Right. Everybody sticks to the plan. There's a moment where Orphan Maker, I don't know why he's so confused about the resurrection protocols, but he gets stuck on that for a second. He's just like,
well, because he, even though it has the frame and build of a more endearing, like, kind of combat veteran type person, like a Cable kind of build, he's definitely got the mind of a child.
He's a kid.
It's easy to forget that when you look at him and you're like, oh, he looks like a technologically advanced warrior from like a special forces kind of unit. And he's just like, oh, how did fucking Empath come back? I thought we shot him in the head. How did they fix that? How do you fix a fucking hole in the head?
What, how? Yeah.
It don't make no sense. My brain hurt.
Greg Coe's proud of it. He's like, yep, that was me. I did that, and now I'm going to do it again. They're just prepping, and we get Havoc just like, he's like, I am not very confident about any of...
Yeah, this is a fucking suicide mission. Rockslide has now corrupted the resurrection protocols. If we die in Otherworld, we're fucking done. Game over, man. Do you not understand?
Yeah.
I like Greg Rose. Just like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. Check out this gun. I'm going to go clean this gun. Fuck you. I love it. I love everyone in this.
Because he's in like a little rotating chair, so he just like rotates away. He's just like, don't care. Nope. Back to cleaning my gun.
But we cut to Bar Sinister, and Sinister is talking to himself, one of his clones, right? And
they're trying to rock, paper, scissors to see who's gonna have to go on this one.
He's like, hey, you want to take this one? He's like, I'm not taking this one. You take this one. He's like, I'm not taking this one. He's like, all right, we gotta do this.
You don't understand. I fucking activated you so you could take this one. This is your whole job. And he's like, yeah. What do you mean? Like, I'm just as qualified as you are. Why can't you be the one that goes and I stay? Maybe you activated me so I can stay. Don't you understand? It's like, the dialogue with Sinister and himself is the best character dialogue in all of... I don't even know if I could just even say Dawn of X even. It's the best in even Dawn of X.
It's good. Yeah, it's great.
Just the way they play off of each other, they don't even listen. You really believe it's Sinister talking. Both these guys believe they're Sinister.
Yeah, they really do. And that's the idea, right? We get them playing rock, paper, scissors, and we do not know which one, and we're never left to know which one is truly the real Sinister, which I kind of like. I kind of like the idea that we're not really sure. Any Sinister could be, who knows how they're going
to. But the one consolation prize for the one who went, they got to take the cape.
They got to take the cape, and that's what matters. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to have Sinister's gaudy cape. Without that, he's not Sinister, in my opinion.
Yes.
He's peacocking.
He's peacocking indeed, but we cut back to another regent. Luckily, we already know about this, so we don't have to talk about it too much. It's Avalon, and it's run by Jaime Braddock, and we slogged through Excalibur. We know what's going on there.
If you're jumping into just X of Swords and skip the Excaliburs to get here, you're a more fortunate human, but still, you didn't miss much. Berlin, originally run by Arthur Pendragon.
Yeah.
Morgan Le Fay took it over. Saturnine didn't like that, and you're up to speed.
Exactly.
You're up to speed with at least Excalibur, and then fast forward, you're up to speed X of Swords.
There you go, folks. That's all you need to know. Let's cut to the gate. Avalon Gates, and we get Empath just so proud. Just like, I'm back, bitches. Fuck you. Let's do this. I hate you all, but let's do this. I'm going to fuck everything up on this mission, but I don't give a fuck. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Which one of you fuckers killed me?
Which one of you fuckers killed me? Yeah. And, more or less, they're prepping. We get Empath kind of teasing some more with Gray Crow. He's just like, I'm gonna cut you in half, and remember that, folks, because he might hold his word. He just might. But then we get Sinister giving his speech. Right, his speech is he's just, I don't have to tell you about the steps, you know, but that involves the importance of the first mile or something like that. I don't know. It's like something super vague, like that he's not even like probably saying verbatim and messed up and fucked up and bastardized. But he's just like, yeah, you know, put one step in front of you or do some shit like that. I don't know. Fuck it.
he puts forth the most bullshit inspirational speech of trying to get the team rallied to go. But he's so unserious about all of it that not one of them is falling behind it.
Yeah. And we get Psylocke just like, oh, you're coming with us? And he's like, yes, of course. That will be leading us into this grand battle or journey. And so they head in. Their venture awaits them as they enter into Avalon, and they're met with Jaime himself. And Jamie's talking to this guy. He's just all like, man, fucking, why is this horse going crazy, man? I thought you were good with horses. You're supposed to be an equestrian master. And he's just like, I don't know what I'm doing, man. You just told me to do this. I don't know why I'm here. Stop.
Yeah, he's like, I said no such thing. Like, he's like, oh, then my bad.
He's greeted. Jamie's just like, oh, yeah, nice cape. I dig it. Nice.
Immediately just stops paying attention to the dude. It's just like, fuck this horse. I don't even care. Look at that cape.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah. And he's just like, great king, I've come to the magical land with intentions, blah, 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 to do stuff. Lying. You know, he's just doing lying for the most part. And we get Jamie. He's just like, oh, no, Saturnine is just like, no one could come in. You know, we got some shit going on right now. And he's just like, oh, but isn't that the fun stuff? Sinister's just like getting egg in the mind. He's like, that's what the special sauce is. That's what the secret is. That's where all the fun lies in life. Don't you like fun, Jamie? You like fun.
Disobey her. You'll have a great time. It'll be so fun. He's like, I'm listening.
Right. he's just all like, you know, he's telling him, what does he say? What lies? He's more or less trying to get him what does he want from
skirt
him?
The lines. He's gonna get him to skirt the lines with what the rules are for what Saturnine put forth. Oh, letting anyone pass.
I thought he was asking for something specifically, but I guess, he's just essentially trying to get.
He just needs the ability to pass because Saturnine said let other mutants through or anyone until the tournament's over, until everything's been handled, and so he's pretty much got to barter his way through this. And the only way that's going to work is if he gives Jamie his cape.
His cape. Horses. That is it. And he gets a horse in return, right? He gets that charming horse that Mumford's trying to tame. But Mumford's just like, I told you, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing here.
And he just gives him that as a side. He's like, and take this horse. And so they take the horse. Yeah. It's not like they really wanted it, but they reluctantly take it, and now they have a horse, and Nanny's riding it.
And Nanny's riding
and it's
it.
Kind of like a Humpty Dumpty situation right here.
Before Nanny gets on the horse, they kind of leave, and Jamie kind of reminds them. He's just like, you know, I have a responsibility here, and you know, if any fuckery happens, you do realize I have the ability to, in an instant, just, you know, fucking change your world, bitch. So yeah. Better watch out.
Yeah, he's trying to throw a warning to them, like, this heat better not fall back on me by me looking the other way. Yeah. And so I'm pretty sure he's going to be pissed when this all plays out.
Yes, agreed. So they're walking through this Avalonian, I guess, market. And Sinister's so bummed. He's so mad. He's so bummed out. He's walking towards everyone. He's just like, I usually have a cape if you're wondering why I look like this. And people are just like, what?
Just random people, yeah, sides to them saying, like, I'm not normally this depressed or this bummed out, but I mean, I have my cape and it's gone. And the stranger's like, I don't, what are you talking about? Who is this guy?
But yeah, he's not having it. And as that's happening, they're halted by some soldiers who are speaking up for Her Majesty later, Opal Luna Saturnine. And they're just like, okay, come on, calm down. We're cool people, man. And
Sinister's trying to parlay with them because they're essentially representatives of Saturnine that accused them of breaking the transgressing against the Opal by being there. Like, they fucked up the pack. They're onto them. Essentially, their fucking infiltration has been found out instantly.
Like, with the quickness, like...
Yeah, like, there was no... They weren't even stealth about it. They're just walking down the street in broad daylight. Out in the public, of course, someone's going to be like, hey, there's a bunch of mutants here. Because these people have been dealing with the mutant stuff for a while now, so obviously they're going to be on the lookout for mutants, and sure enough, they call them out. But Sinister's trying to, like, you know, hey, no, it's not as bad as it looks. Like, everything's okay. And he just leads over to Empath, and he's like, all right, you take care of this. And of course, Empath is still bitter, and he's like, no, not having it. It's not happening even the least bit. He's like, fuck that. I'm tired of being bossed around. You all think I'm a joke.
Oh, yeah, man. He's not having it, right? He's just like, fuck you. I don't want this. I don't care if we all die here. I hope you all die here and your brains get scrambled and whatnot. And then he's like, come on, man. Let me do this. And he's like, how about if I get to have Grey Crow as a pet? And as it's happening, Grey Crow's just like, cut in half it is. And he's about to, like, chop him in half. And Sinister's just like, all right, fine. You can have him.
We have a deal.
And so, yeah, we get Empath controlling Grey Crow. With his, he gets all always seeing Grey Crow with his positivity. He's just like, you radiant soul. It's great.
They draw his face so light, elated and just full of joy and happiness. And his eyes are all wide eyed. And it's like his forced smile is just painted on heavy. And he gets to him and he gets all of the Saturnine's representatives and puts them all under his empathic control.
Yeah, and they let them go their ways. But as they go away, you know, Sinister had to let them know. He's just like, you know, usually I wear a cape. And now that they're all mind controlled, he actually got someone to agree. He's just like, oh, I bet you it looked great.
Yeah, he took the lady that was in charge of all the representatives and took her crazy red feathered green cape. It's pretty close to what he had. It's not perfect, but it's close enough.
It's close.
And they took their horses too.
And the horses, yes, as they all ride off with a horse, and as they're riding off, we get to see Empath talking to Grey Crow, and he says, "I run off now," and he's just like, "Tra la 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 la."
He's skipping.
Yeah, he's skipping, just so having perfect. A great time.
Through this perfect green field of grass. There's the sun in the background. They're riding on their horses. It's just
it's so good, and we get Psylocke.
Scene Cowpunter like that. It's so amusing.
It is good. I love it. And it's great. We get this TV moment. Psylocke's just like, "This is gonna end badly," and Sinister's just like, "Don't they all, my dear? Don't." They all, as they ride off into the distance.
This is like a heist movie, crossed with a Western, crossed with like a Tolkien-style fantasy. I fucking love it. I want to read more. That's what I feel about Empath. Thank you for asking. I want to see this adventure with Empath that it goes on and it just takes him, turns him into his own like movie. Hellions is killing it.
I love it. I love everything happening in this issue. Everything happening in this series. It's great. It's great. Yeah. I love this team. I never thought this team would work so well, but it does. It does.
I want all the Exo Swords issues to come to a grinding halt, and then the story just to continue from here following the Hellions. Just tell me more of what goes on here. I want to know. Want to see how bad this is going to play out for Empath, how bad this is going to play out for Mr. Sinister, and how he's going to still turn it around. I like how he made a clone and gave it life, and that clone blackmailed him into giving his freedom, essentially, by telling him, I'll tell people about your secret clone factory.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you. I know what happens here. I'll tell everyone.
While being a prophet, what happens then?
It's hilarious. It is hilarious. I love it. I love this new Sinister. Everything about him is great. This team is great. I like that everyone has a pet now. Yeah, Empath has a pet. Psylocke has a pet. It's good times. I like what's happening.
Everything's. They're all leveling up. They just started their quest. This feels like just that scene at the end, like where they're riding off into the sunset into this really lush green territory with these mountains and kind of ominous future ahead of them. It really feels like the starting of some sort of fantasy campaign or RPG.
It does, yeah.
I would play it. If these are the characters, I'd do it. Turn-based, let's make it happen. Psylocke uses Psyblade. 9999.
But that will do it for us this week with Hellions. Any other thoughts on Hellions or what was the first one? Marauders or Storm or Wakanda or Shuri's Voltron arms?
No. That is just the Kitty's hair was bad in Marauders. Kitty's hair was good in Hellions. That's the best critique between the two, and that should say.
Yeah, I am not liking. Itself. I'm not liking the new hair that we see done in the latest issues of Marauders. Post, I guess, resurrection hair.
But when she's sitting in the council, it's like it's all lush and alive. The
council is great.
It's more vibrant and so less hokey.
Same with flat. when Marte and Garcia did it in Creation. I loved her in that too. It was good.
It's funny how everyone's drawn almost identical throughout the different, except maybe Rachel. She was kind of saved. Oh gosh, everyone's character design in X Factor was bad though. That's the problem with that one in general. But still, like, it seems like everyone has kind of a similarity in how they draw certain people, but everyone draws Kitty different.
That is interesting, right? That is the one thing that people take creative liberties with, Kitty.
Yeah, she's the only one that everyone's like, all right, I'm going to do my take on her now. It's very intriguing, but I'm glad that she's back in the limelight again and actually getting some sort of representation in these issues. Though her taking the back seat in the Marauders issues worked for the narrative of what they did with Storm. So yeah. there's hope here in a lot of these. But
there's
right, they don't give a damn. I want more Hellions. it's just more Hellions, and I'll be happy.
Well, like we say, I don't know how long that hope will last, but I'm enjoying it so far. And we'll see how long it'll take us, but it's a waves. It's a lot of waves, and that alone could only take me so far, right? You can only tease me for so long before I get fed up with that type of behavior. It's too. It's like abusive relationship after a while.
I mean, all those crazy things that we read about coming out of Marvel and like the new stuff, especially earlier, like just throw back to the beginning with Franklin Richards. That's just a shit show.
What do you think of that? So apparently, according to Fantastic Four issue number 26, mm-hmm. Franklin Richards tries to come back to Krakoa, and we get it shut down by Charles, and Charles essentially tells him that he is not a mutant, but rather he manifested the X gene within himself. Like he reality shifted the concept of the X gene in him. He doesn't in fact possess it, which I don't understand the difference. If you shape reality or if you evolve through reality, it's still the same.
I think it's an incredibly stupid premise. It's
dumb.
He literally used his reality shifting power to remake his DNA because he wanted, and their narrative for it is he so desperately wanted to belong to something that he made himself into a mutant so he could feel like he could belong to a group of people. But it's like, okay, but then you don't feel like you belong to something when you belong to the humans, or you're one of the Fantastic Four, you're part of the Fantastic Four, you know, that family. I don't understand what are you trying to belong to by shifting your gene and making that more palpable? That doesn't feel like that is a logical jump that someone would go to, even at a young age too. Like, how is he going to have that kind of thought process where he's like, I really want to be a mutant, so now I'm going to, as a kid, like a little kid, and he's like, all right, so what I'm going to reactively do is change my DNA. I mean, go back to Heroes Reborn with Franklin Richards and how he was shaping realities and he was making things fit to his view as a kid, and that was kind of an interesting reboot, and it kind of had a way of fitting, even though the Onslaught stuff that bled into it was messy, it still had its place and it worked out to an extent. Something like this is just egregious. It's just insulting. It's almost like, okay, Franklin's not a mutant. He's now a mutant. He's not a mutant. He's now a mutant. He's not a mutant. They've done that fake out a handful of times already, so it's already played out. The reasoning behind it and those other times were kind of bad, but not this bad. Like, this is just like almost a slap in the face to anyone who's been reading Fantastic Four. How Hickman let this happen is just insane. He has been writing Franklin a specific way for so many years now. For this to be the big twist and like for everyone to be like, eh. And like you said, it doesn't even make sense even then. Like using that as an out doesn't even work because he's still technically a mutant.
So I mean, how's yeah, he? It's a, like, what does it do to change anything about his powers, regardless, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing when he was made a mutant, because he wasn't a mutant originally, right? And then they made
They retconned that in later on.
Later on.
They got rid of it and then they brought it back, and Days of Future Past made it a big thing again. All that stuff gets dumb.
We had Heroes Reborn. We had like Onslaught, I guess, like where we had Franklin Richards play, I guess, a minor role. But other than that, like he never really played a role in the X-Men mythos for the most part. So it makes sense for the most part. But at the same time, like you did nothing with him. The whole run of him being a mutant, you did nothing with him to really... Like there was no purpose for him being a mutant, and now you're just fixing a 20, 30 year mistake and poorly.
Well, you're fixing it poorly. In all the Days of Future Past timelines where he was in it, he was pretty heavily leaned on as a mutant. I guess you could say,
but that's a different universe, right? Technically, that's a
yes, that would technically be so. You could explain that away using that, even though that still feels weird. But I mean, you move all that away, biologically, he's still a mutant because he didn't stop being a mutant. He was reality warped into one.
Yeah.
So does that make him less of a mutant?
Yeah, he's still a mutant because he's
I mean, the whole mutant thing is about DNA and biological like similarity. That was, if we remove that from the table, then the whole foundation of this X-Men persecution kind of morality narrative starts to fall apart.
Yeah.
Then it just becomes a little more ridiculous. And then you're going the opposite way with it and getting extreme.
You're getting kind of on the Hitler side where you care about your genes too much.
Yes. And you also pointed out an even better point when you first posted and talked about it the other day. It was, why would you get rid of that asset? Like, why would you not still allow, why would you not let Franklin Richards come into the fold?
Right? That's a good tool to have.
Yeah, like, why would you shoo away, okay, he's not a mutant in the birth sense, more mutant, and he bore himself into reality by changing himself. Maybe you could consider that, but still, he's like, no, fuck it. And it, even weirder is that they put out that infograph, that Hickman infograph about who the Omega level mutants are, and they classified him specifically. So
you're right.
I don't get it. Why are you going to build up so much narrative about him being a mutant to just write that out of the storyline?
So that's,
I mean, you even made that a problem in the beginning where it was like, hey, come to the island, be with your real family, and that's the big stretch. And now they're like, nah, fuck you, get off the island, we don't want you.
And the way that Charles does it too, I mean, this is like, he's now a teenager, super angsty. The motherfucker's just all like, yeah, I get to go to Krakoa. And he's just all like, hey, we get, Charles is just like, no, man, get out of here. You're not a part of our community. Go be alone.
He says, get off. He's like, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. And just to leave a sad, broken, lonely, isolated Franklin Richards with the strongest powers in the Marvel Universe.
He's already mentally unstable, emotionally unstable because of his age. So now it's like you're really kicking him. Charles is not that dumb. This writing, that doesn't make sense. You have that, and then that stuff with the Phoenix stuff. It's like, the future looks dark.
This is bad. I'm hoping it's just Dan Slott being a dick, and they fucking patch this whole, they patch that update quick.
Hopefully. But they're like, no, you were just being lied to. You see, the symbiote had warped your mind, and Franklin had cancer the whole time.
Yeah, it's something, I don't know.
There's so much retconning going on that they need to suss out their story they have now. They consolidate it in a way that makes sense and just keep it simple and stop adding in more MacGuffins and retcons to try to prop up your narrative, because it's not going to work. When you try this too much, the only thing that seems to shine great is Hellions for some reason. It's like in this dark world, I'm looking at the bright future of Hellions and trying to ignore all this other shit coming down the road.
Ah. Yeah, there's a lot of shit that I have to ignore and just pretend like it's not a thing. But for now, we got some good nuggets of gold here and there.
Yeah. It's almost embarrassing because they spent so much time putting Franklin Richards front and center with the whole mutant struggle. They even tied in the Fantastic Four issues to Dawn of X for a while. And then they just kind of ended that and shifted to another thing. Mm-hmm. And they kind of stepped away from it. And then they're like, we want to take a hard step. Fuck this. That Fantastic Four are completely separate from fucking X-Men now. 100%. There are no ties. Ah! Whatever.
I don't get that. I guess something... I don't know.
Okay, so wait. Remember when Franklin came to the island with his sister, who technically isn't a mutant? They didn't consider her a mutant, but they let her come as just a gratitude to Franklin. Mm-hmm. But Franklin, who technically is still a mutant by biological definition, can't come because they see him as a human. Mm. But then North Star's husband is allowed. we'll turn a blind eye to North Star's.
What's happening?
Buddy, but we want Franklin.
Someone needs to crack a whip. Keep things in line. Tell me what's up.
I mean, if they bring this together in like a big story later on where they're like, you're so inept, Charles, you're so arrogant, you gave up Franklin Richards, everything's falling apart, why did you let this happen? And it turns out that like Cassandra Nova is like a tumor in his brain and is like trying to bring everything down.
Oh shit. Oh man.
Grant Morrison had been writing under his pen name, Jerry Duke, Garrett Duke, the whole
No, damn it. I knew it. I
time.
know it. He got us. We've been Dugan'd.
Yeah, what a fake out.
Oh no. I don't know. I don't know what to expect, what to hope. And that's the problem. Just like your real life future, where we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Everything seems up in the air. Will you die tomorrow? Who knows? Maybe. Same with these comics. You know, I don't know what's happening. You could, it could, they could die tomorrow. They could come out with something awesome. Who knows? It's up in the air.
They're definitely working their best they can to be dead to me.
They're trying. It seems like they're trying their hardest to not want my money.
Yeah, that Phoenix reveal was like a nightmare. When you showed me all the characters, all the Avengers characters dressed in like Phoenix Force armor, that was like a nightmare
It
come
really
true. I'm like,
was,
no
yeah.
way. Like a demon from my past reared its head and showed up. I can't escape it. It's like a waking. No matter what, every time I turn around, it's there. Scott Speedo. His Phoenix armor encrusted Speedo.
Just stop. I just don't. Give me the bullets now and the gun. I'll take a shotgun to the face.
Where's Gray Crow when you need him?
Right, Gray Crow, get on this right here. Face. Order up. Get it. Yeah, I don't know what to expect, man. Everything's going south. We lost not one, but two Cyclops voice actors this year. Cool.
Yeah, holy shit, you're right.
Fuck.
Fucking wow, that's so bizarre. So both Trebek and Connery died in the same year, and both Cyclops act voice actors died in the year. It's like these weird duos passing away left and right.
Yeah, kind of crazy. Who knows where it'll go next? We still got a month and a half, folks. Still a month and a half. And you know, just because the year's over doesn't mean, you know, shitty things are gonna stop being shitty. It's still gonna happen, probably.
Yeah, Kirby Morrow is not going to be the last Cyclops to die. There's still time. There's still plenty of Cyclopses.
So many Cyclopses.
And there's still at least a month and a half in the
Oh man, but that'll do it for us this week, folks. How are you liking everyone's sword collection? Is it better than your Pokemon collection? Let us know in the comments that we don't have. That'll do it for us this week. Remember, the robots will kill you. So Danny, always remember to bring your cape.
I don't know. It didn't work out for Dollar Bill and Watchmen.
Sure. Oh. Yeah. All right. Well,
On that dark note, I mean, Kirby Morrow dying was pretty sad, but
Well,
man, fucking
fuck.
Dollar
Oh.
Bill? Poor
My
Dollar Bill, my man.
man, no. No,
He
why?
was just a mascot for the banks. He shouldn't have been fighting crime anyway.
You really shouldn't. Why were you
Like,
doing
oh, you
this?
ever see people who are ads? Like, that dude was an ad who was a
Superhero
superhero.
ad. Oh my God.
He was an ad that fought crime. It's like getting rescued by the fucking Mr. Clean or the Maytag dude. Oh, give me to the hospital. First, would you like to purchase this? Let's get bleed out.
Oh God. Oh, that's too funny.